points. Chris Dolme with a monumental effort here at Hisense Arena.
Leagues in the world outside the NBA. Hashtag see incredible. Hashtag see incredible.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL News Podcast. Joined with Aiden again.
Hello Evan, how are we?
All good. A lot of news this week compared to last week. I think the top story, we'll get straight into it, is Mitch Creek is now available to play this Thursday against the Hawks, as his hearing has been rescheduled to later next month. What are your first thoughts on that, Aiden?
Well, it's going to be a big handy collision with Phoenix. They're low on bigs.
Yeah.
Well, Craig's not a big, but he's plays it's as big, so he'll fit, I reckon, straight back in starting five. I feel like Craig's a type of guy that would keep feet during all this stuff. Yeah. I reckon they start Ben Moore and Creek. I don't think they start with Yanni.
Really? Well, I was saying Ben Moore is better at power forward than center, but
yeah. But the thing is, both Ben and Yanni both can play 5-4. Even three, Ben apparently could play, but I haven't seen that. Or you could do Yanni, Ben, Mitch, but I don't think they're playing three big centers.
But also speaking from basketball, from Phoenix perspective as well, if Creek comes back into the side, someone has to step out of the side because they already got two players.
I think Kendall's still injured.
Kendall's still injured. I'm going to put that in quotation marks there. Injured. Is he really injured?
I don't know. He was warming up before.
Because if it was anyone that was going to get released, I would think it's Kendall Stevens. So maybe
Dane's got like his back and stuff. So Dane will be consistently kind of out.
Yeah, that's very true. But it's weird that they initially suspended him, and then the only thing that's changed is the date of the hearing, yet they allow him to play now. It's just,
well, the NBL has approved it as well, so I
yeah, there must have been the Basketball Australia Integrity Unit and the NBL must have known some more details that the public don't know to allow him to play. Obviously, something must have changed for him to play.
It's not just a simple court case has been pushed back. It's not that. We both know. Definitely, it's not that.
I think it's got to be interesting to see how. I think the only problem is how will fans react? Will Phoenix fans, Phoenix family, will they go on and support this guy? Will they go cheer on Creek? Will they bring their kids along and tell them to cheer Mitch Creek, you know? How will fans talk to Mitch Creek at the games? You know, it's just, I think that's a problem that not many people have looked into, but that's the problems I have. I think at least having him train would have been fine, but playing is just, I think there's a lot of question marks around him playing. I think majority of people, from what I saw, have said this is a step in the wrong direction. Some people have said that he's innocent until proven guilty. So,
well, it's not a win-win situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's good to see him play, but like, I don't know if it's the right thing. I think having him at least train, I would have been fine with. Sure, just keep him up to fitness in case he's available to play later on. But I think it's quite similar to Glenn Rice last year. He was charged with assault last year. Not a similar case, but he was charged. Then he was immediately suspended. I think he was about to leave. And then they brought him back for like a game or two. They allowed him to play in Cairns, and then he broke some rule or something. And then he's back to the US. So pretty similar situation. As soon as they were charged, suspended. Well, not able to play, and then they bring them back midway through while nothing's changed about their court hearing. So, it's an interesting case.
Yeah, but every case is different. So, we'll see how it ends up for things.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that. I just want to wish Alex Pledger a speedy recovery after he was diagnosed with cancer. He's a four-time NBL champion, so I'm very sure he can win that fight. Don't you agree, Aiden?
Exactly. This guy is made of tough stuff. He will bounce back, and we know
he's nicknamed the Pledgehammer for a reason. You know, he was unlucky to not get a contract this year with Melbourne or any other NBL team.
Oh, I think been in Jervis. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's still got room for another year in the NBL. Hopefully, he comes back and we see him. I'd like to see him finish his career with the Breakers again.
Who needs him? Southeast Melbourne needs him. If Dane's getting hurt, I'm nothing against Mike, but Pledge could.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been a good, solid addition to any NBL squad as an injury replacement this year, but hopefully he recovers well and wish him all good luck. Let's move on to the Wynn Entertainment Centre having problems once again. If you didn't see on Monday night against the Bullets, the pregame warm-ups, the ring on the Hawks side collapsed after, I think it was a Koldo Gack that dunked it. So it collapsed, another Wynn Entertainment Centre problem. The game was delayed by half an hour, which was a very long time. I thought it'd be, they initially said it would be 10 minutes. It took half an hour. And I think that really hurt the Bullets and their momentum, I think, going into the game. You know, a 30-minute delay also hurt the other players as well from the Hawks. They still got a big win, but I mean, just so many problems with the entertainment center. Last year, we had the leak in the roof that saw the game against the Breakers abandoned. Even during this game and the last home game earlier this year, there was scoreboard problems. They had to wait like 2 minutes or 5 minutes to fix the score on the Jumbotron. So there's all sorts of problems at the Wynn Entertainment Center. Definitely need to renovate there. Staying on the Hawks now, Aiden, Justinian Jessup. Now, the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, he was obviously, if you don't know, he was drafted by the Warriors in the 2019 draft, the 52nd pick, I believe, somewhere around there. Yeah, somewhere around there. But he was a draft and stash. He was obviously signed with the Hawks before he got drafted. But now the Warriors are, I wouldn't say seriously considering, but they are considering calling up him, Justinian Jessup, for the rest of the NBA season. Do you think he goes to the NBA soon, or do you think that the Warriors will let him develop playing more minutes in games in the NBL?
I reckon he'll stay, because ever since that rumor came up, he's been playing kind of, I want to say shit, but below average.
He did have 4 points on Monday, but thing is, he did have 10 rebounds. Yeah, but
the other games, though, he hasn't really...
Yeah, he's look, I'll tell you what, he's definitely better than Didi Luzada, I'll tell you that much. But I think play him out for the season. I don't think he's, if he does get into the NBA, I don't see him getting many minutes. You know, I think he's better off. And there's no G League at the moment as well. So he's better off.
Finished.
Yeah. Better off playing minutes, playing games in the NBL. And it would hurt the Hawks a lot if he leaves, and it may leave a bad relationship between the Warriors and the Hawks.
The NBA would... No, I reckon it wouldn't be a bad look for him if he left, because the ultimate goal for the Hawks would be to get him to the NBA. But it's the way he leaves now.
I
get what your view.
Yeah.
It's one of those, if he wants. Like, they want the best for him, but they want him to stay because they want to make the playoffs.
It's got to be a big buyout anyway. If the Warriors want to bring him back to the NBA now, it's got to be a lot of cash, about 700K, I heard, to buy him out and play in the Warriors uniform right now. But then again, it would probably take a couple weeks to get in there, and then I just think he's better off staying here. But obviously, we saw the Warriors brought a scout here watching him, so they're definitely keeping close eyes on him. And I think if it's not this season, he'll be in the Warriors jersey next year.
Well, speaking of the NBA, Will Magday got his first Jimmy into the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think we forgot to mention that last week. But yeah. Will Magne finally made his debut. 3 minutes against the Lakers. He hasn't played another game since, but good to see him making his debut. Hopefully he gets more minutes. I mean, I want to see him out there more often. Anyway.
I want to see him against Aaron Baines.
I mean, Aaron Baines is not playing too well with the Raptors this season, if you've been watching the NBA. So Baines might be coming to the NBL soon. Hometown Cairns. Hometown Cairns. Nah, we'll see. He's pretty old now. He's 35. He's, I think, hopefully he comes to the NBL next season or the season after, because he's not doing amazingly in the NBA. Anyway, injury news. Kyat Noy has been ruled out for up to 12 weeks due to a PCL tear. Season over for the Taipans, Aiden.
Well, I think the season was over a while ago, but they did win on the weekend, but the season is probably over. Kyat Noy is a big loss because... Who did they start small forward? I didn't watch that game this week.
Natai, they had a Majok Deng still injured as well. I think he's still a couple or 3 weeks away. They're starting five. I think they're starting five was Machado, Juric, Natai, Krizlovic, and Oliver. So
Natai isn't a bad player. Like, I don't have anything against he did well in the World Cup.
Natai's had a few good games for the Taipans, but they definitely need a. Another local, Mojave King's finally get more minutes. I mean, this is a good thing for Mojave King, I guess. I mean, he's got to get more minutes, more opportunity to show that he can be drafted in the NBA. But Taipans, if they should have signed, they should have made some local changes earlier. I don't think it's a coach. It's obviously not Mark Kelly. I mean, you can't replace Oliver and Machado. They're obviously amazing imports, hard to replace. They definitely needed to make some local changes. Whether they was trying to sign McDowell White, that's what the Breakers did, or whatever. But I think it's too late now. They should have made local changes earlier in the season. But it's unfortunate to see Kyat Noy injured once again.
Season, the chemistry isn't there with Cairns. I don't know if it's Mike Kelly's coaching or if it's the players, but I think the players aren't buying him.
Moving on to a discussion that Perth Bandit CEO Nick Tan brought up and was talked about on Trash Talk. It's talked about everyone on Twitter. Should John Mooney, this is a really good discussion, by the way, should John Mooney be considered a Rookie of the Year candidate? Obviously, we know that he is an import this season. Jessup, who's very similar, just finished 4 years of college, like Mooney, he's considered a Rookie of the Year because he's under the Next Stars contract, while Mooney, who wasn't even drafted, is considered an import, which means he won't be available for Rookie of the Year. What are you for? Should Mooney be a Rookie of the Year candidate?
Well, yes, but firstly, Perth, why don't you just nominate him as a next guy? Come on.
They should have done that in the first place. Spot up,
and then boom, this wouldn't be having a brain problem.
Imagine another import on that team right now. Imagine a Miles Plumlee instead of Tom Jervis on that team right now.
Exactly. You're Plumlee. Blanchfield, Norden, and Cotton. Like, look at that. They're better than the United team. They have problems.
Definitely. They're the best. I think they've got the best talent. If they had another import, they got the best talent in the league for sure. But they're obviously
still... And they've got Sherville, Travis off the bench. Like, who
played well in the weekend. He's finally getting back to form we like to see. Blanchfield's having a good season. Norton's up there for defensive player. They're just... I don't know why people doubt them every year. I keep saying it, but it's just ridiculous.
Steiner was good on the weekend. Steiner shot the lights out. Well, kind of.
Yeah. But in my opinion, I think Mooney should be, if you're a first-year professional, you should be considered Rookie of the Year. It's kind of weird because LaMelo Ball, he won Rookie of the Year last year, yet he played professionally. He already played professionally in Lithuania. So it's kind of an odd scenario. Hopefully they fix the rules around that because Mooney would easily win that award. He could even win in if it wasn't for Cotton. I think he could be an MVP and Rookie of the Year candidate.
You know what I should have? The best import of the year.
Yeah, someone else suggested that. I can't remember who, but best import MVP, best local MVP. Obviously, this year would be Cotton and Sobey. At the moment, for sure. But don't know, I like having just the one MVP, but I think first-year imports, guys like Deshaun Taylor last year, first-year import, he should be considered for Rookie of the Year.
Keep Benson first import of the year. Mm-hmm.
Not guys like that. Not guys like like Jock Landau, who's playing his first NBL season. You know, I don't think he should be Rookie of the Year.
NBL pro. No,
I don't even think Deshaun Tate in the NBA, he's considered a rookie right now because he hasn't played in the NBA, but he's already played in professionally, obviously, at the Sydney Kings and Europe before that. So I don't even think.
I don't think he went
to before. Yeah, he went to. He played in Europe before the NBL.
Oh.
But.
No, I don't know.
I don't think he should be counted as a Rookie of the Year, in my opinion, in the NBA because he's already played professionally. I think if you're first year professional, you know, coming out of college or if coming out of high school, whatever it is, you should be considered a rookie. So
yeah, you're a rookie. Like he was in draft contention, like bro.
Because I got the Argentina point guard Camposa for I hope I said his name right, but they don't know who I'm talking about. The Nuggets point guard, Argentinian. He's played in Europe his whole career pretty much. First year in the NBA, he's considered in the rookie class when he's 28 years old or something. So it's all whatever. But I think Mooney should be counted as a Rookie of the Year. And we saw in that poll that Nick Tan had up that that won easily. I think got 80% of the vote that Mooney should be a rookie. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, which is a lot of people complaining about that Melbourne-New Zealand game. Did you watch it on Thursday, Aiden, the one in Bendigo?
I watched the first half, and then I thought, you know what, New Zealand's got this. I'll quickly go take a shower, come back, watch the second half. And then I saw the scoreline, I'm like, oh, shit, Melbourne's coming back. And then I'm like, nah, this is fine. New Zealand will keep on going.
So. Yeah. It's just funny seeing people saying, oh, this is Larry's league and everything, NBL. There, of course, it's, you know, a New Zealand, they say it's a New Zealand home game when it's basically a Melbourne home game because they're playing in Bendigo and everything. It's like, yep, I keep saying, yep, it's all Larry Kesselman's fault. It's him. Yep, he's making them change the game. He's saying, look, refs, he's in the refs here saying, yep, can you please give a technical to Thomas Abercrombie just because he's talking to you? No worries. I mean, we don't know what Tom Abercrombie said and Colin Larson said. They received texts. There was texts. There were obviously some other questionable fouls in the game, but that's just, you can't be blaming Larry Kesselman. And, you know, why don't you blame people always blame Melbourne United because they hate it. They got the NBL Cup. They're getting games that are away. People just don't understand. Don't understand how the NBL Cup was given to them and the difficulties of the Breakers playing games this year. So it's just ridiculous that people keep making this stupid argument. I mean, why don't you say that about Brisbane? Larry Kesselman owns that, you know, probably owns more in the Brisbane Bullets than he does in Melbourne United. You got to say that about the Jack Jumpers next year. If they get the NBL Cup and they start getting some calls that they shouldn't get, you got to say, oh, this is the TBL. This is the Tasmanian Basketball League now. You got to say that? Highly doubt it. So people need to stop carrying on about the NBL and et cetera.
What's the
it's mainly, you know what? It's mainly Perth fans that say that, isn't it? It's mainly Perth fans that say NBL. Don't you agree?
Everywhere in Perth is like that. But it's
Perth or Sydney fans that just say NBL, Melbourne Basketball League, et cetera,
Sydney is not as bad as Perth.
Yeah.
Perth
fans are just... complain. It's not like, anyway, I'm not going to sound biased or anything. I don't want to be biased, but
you know what? I'm going to say something. Perth, be happy you can go to games. Your premier is just a nutcase sometimes.
You get Perth. I think Perth have the can get the highest crowd at a basketball game in the world at the moment. 10,000 people. Yeah.
Be grateful for that, Perth. Come on. Me and Evan have to work our ass off to go watch a game.
Anyway, let's move on to our fantasy teams from the past week. How'd you go, Aiden, first?
I did really well. Well, kind of well. 764. Oh, scaling did go up. Oh, okay. I didn't have Mooney captain, so that was...
Yeah, same mistake. I had Cotton over Mooney, and that stuffed me up a bit, but yeah.
It's okay. We can learn. Just never not put Mooney not on captain unless he's play one game, but that's besides the point. Carlton Iverson, 104 points.
Yeah, he was good. I'm happy I got him in my team, 104 points. But, yeah, my round 11 score was 770, ranked 335 this round. Overall rank's now 536, still not good enough. I thought I would go up this round, but my trades this week, I'm trading Harvey. I know I brought him in last week, but Harvey, he was on ice in the Monday night game against the Bullets, and he didn't come back into the game, and he's got a quick turnaround. He plays tomorrow, Thursday night, against Phoenix now, I think. So I doubt he plays, or if he does suit up, I doubt he plays many minutes. So I traded him for Mitch Norton and also changed Toddy Blanchfield for Jessup. What about you, Aiden?
Not bad. I've traded the same people out as you have. I've traded I've traded Harvey. It's a game that didn't suffer the free fixture, I would have been fine. But that's thrown me off. So
The rescheduling has really stuffed up everyone I've seen in their fantasy teams. I only got two players playing twice this week in my starting six. So
yeah, I'm the same. So it's really hard to. I'm looking at fixtures and I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, still, I got good players. I got Ty Webster, Clayton, Mooney, Iverson. They'll still get probably over 50 points in one game anyway. So exactly. It's all good.
So, yeah, Tyler Harvey for Mitch Norton, like you did as well. Yep. And then Blanchard for Jock Landale. Jock.
Very good trade. Get Landale in. He's got to be my captain this week for sure.
Well, he's playing Cam Ola and he's playing him twice. So, it's going to be a good matchup, but if he plays two games, it's fine. It's worth it. And he's gone down in price, I think. I don't think he went up. I think he's gone down.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like a 1.6. I might be wrong.
Anyway, that will do for another episode of the NBL News podcast. Aiden won't be here next week. So see you later, Aiden. Won't be coming back ever. No, I'm kidding. Taking a week hiatus. So someone else will be on. And anyway, see you guys next week.
Peace.